Welcome back. The second part of the current review. My name is Thamsanqa Matu, otherwise known as TT, otherwise known as Chairman. I am with my brother Tebogo Kotse from the Answer podcast, and we are being joined. I think it's for the first time actually since we started doing the current review. We're being joined by the African Congress for Transformation. I don't recall ever speaking to them. Yeah, so we've been joined by the national spokesperson of the African Congress for Transformation, Ndate Reverend Mohau Khumalo. We are going to be talking about their reaction to the State of the Nation address as presented to us by the President of the Republic, Mr. Cyril Ramaphosa, last Thursday. Welcome to the current review, Mfundis.
No, thank you very much. And I just want to say thank you for inviting us to this platform. I just want to greet your viewers, wherever they are watching from, those that are listening. We just want to greet them in a revolutionary greeting from ACT. And I see that you almost predicted there, saying the sauna was given by Ace Mahashule. That's a prophecy, and we accept it.
That, given that you are saying that is a prophecy, and tell me, is that sauna that was delivered last Thursday what Ace Mahashule would have delivered if he was president of the republic?
No, not at all. Not a chance. But
Ace Mahashule is also responsible for having produced the Dintswalos of this country, as narrated by the president there in that State of the Nation address. Do you have any relation to the Dintswalos, or do you recognize the Dintswalos? Do you take ownership of the Dintswalos, given that your president has been in power through the ANC for so long, and therefore responsible for its successes, responsible for its failures?
Look, not really. And it also makes a difference what defines Dintswalo and what percentage is converted to Abu Dintswalo. Because we can't be celebrating a Dintswalo when you have you are sitting at 58% of unemployed youth, which are referred as Abu Dintswalo. That's the reality of South Africa. So at that percentage alone, it tells you that if there is a Dintswalo, it's a very small margin. We are sitting with a 58% of Dintswalos that are unemployed as youth. I'm not even talking about the bigger basket, which is 33% of unemployment generally in South Africa.
That is a description of failure that you are painting, right? Now, if that is the case, would you not say, therefore, that Ace Mahashule and a majority of members of ACT or ACT or Congress for African Congress for Transformation themselves, they failed this republic because they led in very prominent positions while they were in the governing party?
I think that, Tami, you are being a little bit unfair by measuring Ace Mahashule by national government when he was responsible for provincial government, where he has done exceptionally well. So he hasn't been in national government, so you can't really measure him on failures of national government. And the failures that President Ramaphosa has presented on SONA speaks directly to national government.
But I understand that 60% of the unemployment rates are attributable to youth in the Free State. Even the unemployment rate attributable to youth is higher in the Free State than it is in other provinces. And this is where Ace Mahashule used to govern. Or are you trying to tell me that there are, like, the story of Dintswalo holds more water in the Free State than it does in other provinces?
We also need to remember that Ace Mahashule has left provincial leadership and government 11 years ago.
Mm.
That's what we also need to look. And post that, he can't be then be responsible for failures of new administration that came. If we really want to measure him, let's say what happened during his tenure and his period, and we measure him correctly based on what he has delivered. And we know that we can call out things, and I don't think we can finish. I'll take the whole day.
Okay. Now, we start these interviews like this because the story of Tinswalo has been quite interesting, and the previous one we did it just as such. Don't think we're being unfair to you. But, yeah. Okay, please give us your immediate reaction as the, African Congress for Transformation, your reaction to the SONA. What did you, as a political party, make of that State of the Nation address?
Look, I must say, for us, it was disappointing. First of all, that SONA lacked accountability. Accountability in a sense that the previous SONA, when the president was speaking, he made a whole lot of promises. And one would expect that this SONA will address at least success stories and also failures, which will then invite aspects of room for development or for improvement. We didn't hear that. What we had in that SONA is exactly what we just articulated now, a poem by Tinswalo. And for us, we are saying, how can a president be so ignorant for him to live in this wonderland that only him understands and those cheerleaders that were cheering for him in parliament? And maybe it was strategic for them not to allow the EFF to participate there because they didn't want confrontation or to be corrected on issues that they were not truthful about. So just to start with, there were applause about the GDP growth that has tripled. And we are talking really a 1.8% from a 0.5 in SA, with a population of 62 million people. Now, I don't even want to go far. Just look at the neighboring countries. Your Lesotho, which has a population of 2.3, but their GDP growth is sitting at about 4.3. You look at Botswana with a 2.7 population growth, but their GDP growing at 5%. So those are the things that you ask yourself to say, how do we celebrate stagnancy, being stagnant for such a long period where GDP plays between 1%, 2%? And we have so neighboring countries that have so little population and they are thriving. And one of the success of Lesotho, what really contributes majorly in their GDP, is water, their investment in water, which is something that has tended to be scarce in South Africa. In fact, when you have water, it's like you have one gold or diamond. It was really a torture for 2 hours. And this is for South Africans. We got tortured for 2 hours, but I felt more for President Mbeki sitting there for 2 hours, listening to a leader that not few months ago, President Mbeki made it very clear to say, there is no plan, social, economic plan, there's none. And President Ramaphosa has actually promised to give us that compact plan in the 100 days of him getting into office. It never happened. So I can feel for President Mbeki that he got more tortured than any other South Africans because he just had to absorb that.
Given the fact that this State of the Nation address, as the president was saying, that it is the last to be given by this sixth administration. Is it the sixth or seventh? But this administration is the last. Yet it is also an account of the last 30 years of governance. Is there absolutely nothing positive that you could have taken out of that particular address? that the government has done in the last 30 years.
No, no. You see, if you use the approach of 30 years, there are some positive that one can draw from that. Our economy used to be good. Our investment used to be good. Business used to thrive. Now, in this administration, things started falling apart. But let me just paint the background about these 30 years. Because it's ironic that now ANC comes and wants to paint a holistic approach in terms of 30 years. But in that 30 years, the same ANC has rendered the 10 years of President Mbeki's administration as a when it comes to healthcare, because they said he never produced anything. In fact, he gave us beetroot as medication as opposed to be giving us the HIV patients ARVs. So from that 30 years, you must also think about 10 years of wasted 10 years when it comes to healthcare. Then on that same 30 years, there's also a 9 wasted years of President Zuma that the ANC rightfully calls out and says it's 9 wasted years, which President Ramaphosa was the deputy president. So he was also involved in these 9 wasted years. Then you come to this 6 or 5 years that President Ramaphosa is now president, where everything now became worse. Now you take that, all those years, take them out, you literally be left with 5 years of President Mandela's term, where things really thrived and things were looking positive.
You agree with that description, though? Do you, as ACT, agree with that description of the first 10 years of Mbeki as a, I think you are calling a health disaster, and then the 9 wasted, the so-called 9 wasted years of Zuma, and you are saying that we are left with 5 years of President Mandela. Do you agree with that description that you are giving, you together with the ANC?
No, no. Remember, it's the ANC that is actually putting this on the table. They know the administration far better than anyone else. So if the ANC says, we've got 9 wasted years and we've got a healthcare disaster, who are we to actually not to believe them? So we are putting it to you, Tami, and everyone else to say, believe them when they say, we've got over 21 years that we've wasted as government. But we can pin out and say, but the economy was good under President Mbeki. We can put it out and say, infrastructure got better on President Zuma, and NSFAS got better on President Zuma. Business was thriving under President Zuma. So we've got a handful of things that are positive that we can call out, but generally the ANC doesn't believe in those two leaders. They actually portray them as failures.
But now, Reverend, in this situation, I hear what you're saying, but at some point, there's a bit of contradiction to what you are saying in that regard. You are saying the ANC is endorsing the past 9 years. I'm going to just focus on the 9 years as waste, as years that are wasted. And then you're saying also there's positivity that is coming out. But you are not coming to a point what is the ACT saying about that particular 9 years. Are you agreeing with the statement that was it a waste or was it good 9 years?
No, no. What I have said, I said we have some best practices and some pointers to take home that we say this is a success story. And I've alluded to the NSFAS. I've alluded to infrastructure development. I've alluded to business and investment, and including our GDP growing very nicely under the 9 wasted period. And healthcare as well. Remember, under President Zuma administration, that's when the rollout of IRBs came. So whatever mess that President Zuma created, President Zuma corrected in healthcare. So there are some pointers, and I'm saying—
So what are you saying? Are you saying there are not 9 wasted years? Is that what you're saying?
We can't say it's 9 wasted years.
Let's not base it on the ANC statement. Let's remove the ANC. Let's focus on you as ACT and your opinion. Was the 9 years a waste or not?
No, it was not wasted. According to the ACT, the 9 years under President Jacob Zuma, it was not wasted.
Okay. Based on what you just elaborated.
Based on what I've just elaborated. They were not wasted.
Now let's come back to the issue. I'm gonna focus more on issue of load shedding, because now referring to your statement when you say under the President Jacob Zuma it wasn't wasted, yes. And under that, the statements that have been made that President Zuma was stopped load shedding, and now that under President Cyril Ramaphosa, load shedding has commenced and it's actually worse than it was before. Now, here's my ultimate question on behalf of the voters that are sitting out there. What is ACT going to do about load shedding, and what's the solution to it?
Look, it's unfortunate that we are experiencing so much load shedding. And I think I'm gonna make reference to President Thabo Mbeki when he spoke about load shedding. And this is a president of the ANC, a stalwart of the ANC. He's been into administration, he understand governance back to back. He's on the administration of Jacob Zuma, load shedding had been resolved.
Okay.
There were people that made sure that power stations are built. Our grid was fully loaded.
Mm-hmm.
We have never experienced what we're experiencing now, instead of the grid being overloaded. And one good thing that that administration did, they were on the path of introducing a lifelong plan, which was
nuclear.
Thank you very much. There was a clear plan that was just waiting for approval. Now, that plan was not embraced by some few elements within the ANC, and then it was scrapped. So as the ACT, we are saying, there's no need to reinvent the wheel, particularly if those people that were still in ESCOM, that dealt with ESCOM, and I'm quoting Abo Ntate Koko, Abo Ntate Brian, they were there, they knew what to do. And the plan of nuclear plant being erected, that is the way to go. We shouldn't be experiencing this. Why are we exporting so much coal to our neighboring countries, even abroad, to manufacture energy when we are the producers of the same coal and we can't produce our own energy based on the resources that we own? So we have a plan. We've got the resources, which is coal we can generate. We don't believe in this solar thing, because we think it's a delay and it's just a way of just looting and generating money. So as the ACT, we say nuclear is the way to go, and we'll probably look at that if we have to be in government. And we will also restabilize ESCOM and put the right people and keep them right and make sure that people that will give us what South Africans need and what South Africans expect, bring them back on board. Why will you want to reverse the gains of South Africans where we are on the right path as far as load shedding was concerned?
You say,
okay, and what else then would you propose for, because I think one of the important things that you guys are decrying is the rate of unemployment in the country, especially as it affects young people. What are the proposals that you as ACT or African Congress for Transformation would like to propose for this country going forward?
Look, I think there are five key things that any country, particularly South Africa, can look at in making sure that our economy gets stable. And one of those things is putting a lot of focus on energy. Once our energy is okay, followed by transportation, which is the biggest contributor in our economy, followed by communications and water and housing. Once we get these five elements that attract investment, if that can be stable, I think our economy can get into the right direction. And one of the things that we also want to highlight is also making sure that we open our gates as far as investments are concerned, and also make sure that we look at the factors that are contributing also into economy. It's like your finance, your business and management. You are also looking at your sales, which is retail, which contributes a lot. But majority of our economy as South African is on agriculture. We have the land, and that's why we are saying we need to fix this issue of land and make sure that we own land so that we can farm, we own land so that we can produce, and make sure that we produce the things that we need to produce in able to make sure that we accelerate our economy. And one of the things that we also need to maybe put a lot of effort is when we produce, what are we producing and to who are we producing to? And how to produce when we have this land? And another one will be, for who are we producing these goods for? So that we make sure that we've got that export relation with foreign countries, so that we make sure that our basket in terms of economy is sustainable. And also to be very sufficient in our resources and how we utilize our resources. And our economy will grow if you look at those aspects.
Any differences in the in the education system, especially basic education system, that you think should be implemented?
You see, the sad thing about youth is that we don't lack skill in South Africa. We actually have skill, but what we are lacking is employment opportunities. Because just yesterday, we had doctors taken to the streets. Who has ever thought that in South Africa, to be a doctor, you'll actually hustle so much or struggle to get employment or placement? So our problem is to create job opportunities in South Africa. So our youth are determined, they are going to school, they are going to university, making sure that they acquire the necessary skills. But our problem is placement. And how will you guarantee the economy when employment doesn't increase and the population continue to increase? And I think one of the biggest mistakes that South Africa is doing is also not to challenge and to deal with this issue of privatization. Because once you do that, you narrow the channels of employment, of increasing employment. And if you don't focus also in industrial components of this country, making sure that we industrialize and we make sure that we produce so that we can absorb so much youth and people that are employment currently now, then we will have this 58% of youth that are unemployed. So it's all good and fair that we're making sure that our youth is going to school. But if we don't have a clear plan as to how do we place them, then we have a problem.
Mm. Any because you know we would have wanted to talk about your manifesto program that you'll be launching before we go to the elections. But we have not yet gotten an advisory on when is the manifesto, and therefore these questions are almost bordering on what is it that ACT would contain in its manifesto program to be given to the electorate. Do you want to give us any details to when and how will the manifesto be given to the people?
We are planning on launching our manifesto just closer to the time before elections. We are looking at late March, early April, where we'll be able to unpack our manifesto. You see, instead of going the traditional way of putting a thick document of manifesto that doesn't really talk to the issues of the people in the ground, we have opted to consult our communities to make them part and parcel of issues that are really bothering them. We as ACT don't want to grandstand and say we are bringing solution to South Africans. South Africans know exactly what the problems, what problems they are facing. And they are sitting with some of the solutions. So we will piggyback from every aspect of the communities and making sure that we drink from the well and the knowledge from our community and South Africans to tell us how to steer this wheel of success towards addressing the issues that are affecting South Africans correctly. So we are on a consultative phase now, where we are engaging with stakeholders, where we want to make sure that we talk on issues that are affecting them directly and making sure that we actually deliver a durable manifesto. And that is also doable, and that is measured by the same community.
Okay. Well, in this regard, how do you see the ACDP, I mean, sorry, I beg your pardon, ACT doing in this coming elections?
I can tell you now, if you haven't been looking at the news, but ACT, you see, we are not really big on media because we believe that we are a product of the community and the society, not product of the media. But there are instances where the media will actually show the work of ACT. But you go to every VD in South Africa, you will see ACT. You go to every street of every town in South Africa, you will be met by an ACT member and a T-shirt. So our growth is very good. We are happy as a first election, participating in the first election, and also a new political party, an underdog. We're going to surprise many, and we are definitely will be decision makers. We will be in effect as in government and in parliament.
Reverend, thank you very much for your time. And good luck in the future endeavors of with your political party. We hope that as you launch the manifesto, we will get an invitation to come cover the event and get even more interviews with you going forward around the plans and what you are doing on the ground for elections.
No, thank you very much, and thank you very much for having me. I just want to say, ACT is a home. For all people, it's the People's Party. Your space is still there, Ntate Tami. Your space is still available. So don't hesitate any given time. We are the People's Party. So I think next time when I come, you'll be sitting on the other side and actually be giving that manifesto yourself as an ACP.
I am the media. I'll always be on the side of the media. Thank you very much. We'll be. I don't think we've got another one coming up, right? This has been a very interesting and a very insightful discussion with Reverend Mohau, the national spokesperson of the African Congress for Transformation. And by the way, we'd like to interview the President General of ACT. Maybe the next time you must come along with him.
We can arrange that. He will love to be here and to engage with you. So no, we will make sure that I actually just set up that interview based on his availability and your availability as well.
All right, no, thank you very much.
Blessing. Thank you very much.